When I was a kid, I used to like to ride my bike. And when I would ride my bike, sometimes, well, I would fall. And I remember one time, I was at my grandparents' house, and I was riding my bike, and I fell, and I scraped my knee pretty good. So my aunt, she's a nurse, she comes and she says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I fell and I scraped my knee," and I was probably crying a little bit. And she said, "Come on, I'm going to take care of you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put some monkey's blood on your knee." Yeah, y'all all know what that is. I didn't. Like, that sounds cool. So I go, and we go out. I sit at the counter, or at the table, or wherever I sat, and I give her my knee, and she puts the monkey's blood in. Ow! What are you doing? I thought this was supposed to be helpful. She said, "It is. It stings a little bit." Yeah, right, a little bit. "It stings a little bit, but it's going to be helpful." The next year, the FDA outlawed monkey's blood for whatever reason, and I rejoiced exultantly with great joy. So, we moved on from monkey's blood to peroxide, which was not an improvement. So you get the gray bottle of peroxide from the dollar store, and I go and, you know, I fall on my bike, or I accidentally cut myself on something, and we don't have monkey blood anymore, we have peroxide. I'm like, "All right, this is going to be better." And so mama comes out, or daddy comes out and says, "What's wrong?" And we go, and I put my hand over the sink, and ow! "You said this was going to be better. You lied to me." So I cut myself again, and I'm outside, and daddy comes out, or mama comes out, and they're like, "Hey, let's fix it." "Uh-uh, I'm okay. I'm fine." And we all know what fine means. Right, husbands? Fine does not mean fine. Whatever it means. "I'm fine. I'm all right." And I say, "Yeah, right. Come on in." And exactly. And so my mama, she goes to pour the peroxide on. I'm like, "No." Like, "Hey, now we're wasting peroxide. This is 99 cents a bottle. I don't want to waste this stuff." So, you know, mom or daddy or whatever, gently and kindly, they hold my hand there and they make me get the peroxide, and it hurts and it burns. It fizzes and that's kind of cool, but it hurts and it burns and I'm flinching. I'm moving away. Mama and daddy are giving me the medicine that I need. Mama and daddy are giving me what I need to prevent infection and to be better. But I recoil at that. I step back. I don't want the pain that comes with the healing. I'm afraid, subtly, a little bit, that mama or that daddy is going to hurt me. Open up your bulletins. Page 3. First long quote from Deacon Keating. "With ever more accurate darts of love, the Holy Spirit opens our consciences before God so that deeper and more effective healing can occur. At times His coming is so pure that it causes us to have pain and to recoil, to flinch, to step back. To recoil at the level of intimacy God wishes to achieve in our being." This is the key line. We recoil at our own needed medicine. When I was a kid and we had the peroxide, you know I never, ever, ever, ever got an infection. Never. In any of the times that I fell down, that I scraped my knee, that I cut myself by accident, never, ever did I get an infection. Because mama and daddy, every time, made sure that I cleaned that thing with peroxide. And as much as I would recoil at the medicine that I needed, Mama and Daddy would always do what was best for me. And you know what happened? As I got a little older, Mama and Daddy wouldn't have to come outside anymore and say what's wrong. As I got a little older, and as I realized that even though it hurt, that I needed the medicine, that I needed my wounds to be cleaned, I would go to them. And I'd say, Daddy, I was playing around and I cut myself on something. Can you help me? And Daddy would put my hand over the sink or my arm or my leg or whatever it was. And I wouldn't flinch anymore. It didn't hurt any less. It still hurt. But I began, as I got older and older, to trust that what Mama and Daddy were giving to me was good for me. I began, as I got older, to trust that this encounter with Mom and Dad and the medicine was going to help me. And so I had the discipline to no longer flinch because I wanted the healing. I had the discipline no longer to flinch because I wanted very badly the results. Because I trusted that Mama and Daddy knew what was best for me. You know what happened? It still hurt. Still there. But then I really began to notice how like it fizzes. And that's cool. I didn't notice that before. Because I was too worried about the pain. I began to realize just a little bit more how my mom and dad loved me. I didn't notice that before because I was too worried about the pain. And then eventually, as I got even older, when I'd get a cut, I'd go and get the peroxide and pour it on myself. Still hurt. Still didn't necessarily like it. But I did it and it wasn't a big deal because I knew the medicine that I needed. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and pierces our hearts. The Holy Spirit drives us out into the desert of Lent to encounter God. And I don't know about you, but for me, a week and a half into Lent, some days feels like a year and a half into Lent. And a week and a half into Lent, I was all excited a week and a half ago to encounter God, but now I'm going to prayer. Now God is inviting me deeper into giving up chocolate or coffee or candy. God is inviting me deeper. God wants to encounter me, and I'm saying, well, hold on. Hold on. I don't know if I really want to change my life. I might still want to get lost in distractions. And some days, y'all, I got to confess, some days I do. I get lost in distractions and miss the intimate encounter with God here in the desert. Sometimes I still want to rely on myself. Sometimes I still think I can save me. I still think I can save the world. God is leading me to this encounter in Lent. God is leading me to rest in His heart. And I recoil. I step back. I flinch at my own needed medicine because I am scared of the change in my life that the encounter will affect. And if I'm honest with myself, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, the reason that we recoil, the reason that we flinch is because in some way or another, we don't trust God all the way. In some way or another, the lies of the enemy have penetrated our hearts and our minds to say that God is against me. Some kind of way, the lies of the accuser, the lies of Satan, have penetrated my heart and my mind to make me think that God isn't giving me everything I need, that God isn't giving me what's best for me, that God is against me. But the Scriptures say today that God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? God says, I am not against you, but I am for you. God says, I desire to bring you the healing that you want so badly. I desire to enter into your pain. And you know how you can know that? Right here. Because I prove it. Because I went into the desert first, did battle with Satan, and won. Because I spent my whole life came to earth. God the Son came to earth. I spent my whole life loving you, my whole life reaching out to you all the way to the wood of the cross. So if you think that I am not for you, if you have bought the lies, like we probably all have, that God is against us, God says, look, I have proved it. I've conquered Satan. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, hell, where is your sting? And I give you the medicine of purifying suffering in your life. I give you the medicine of Lenten penances. I give you the medicine of immortality that comes from this altar that is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And I desire more than anything else for you to come and encounter me and hear those words, I absolve you from your sins. If God is for us, who can be against us? God who gave His only Son. It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, and who was raised. You know, sometimes during Lent and sometimes in difficult seasons in our lives, it's hard to see the resurrection. Now, I was praying this morning, I was just brought to the image of this church right here. Like right now for Lent, we are fasting from seeing the image of Jesus raised from the dead. We see the image right here of Christ, our Redeemer, who redeems us on the cross, and we fast from the image of the resurrection so that we can strengthen our hope in the resurrection, so that we can strengthen our trust that He will provide and that He is for us. But the devil, Satan, he accuses us. Satan is simply a Hebrew word that means accuser. That's his name. That's his identity. That's what he does. You remember the book of Job? Satan goes to God and tries to accuse the earth. Says, look at all these people who are sinning against you. And God says, what about my servant Job? And Satan says, yeah, your servant Job serves you only because he's got it made. So take away his riches and his children and take away everything he has and he will curse you. He will turn against you. So God says, all right, go try. Just don't touch his flesh. And so Satan goes and all his kids die and all his animals die and Job is left destitute by the action of Satan. And Satan and Job, what does he do? He remains faithful. Then Satan goes back to God and he says, yeah, I took away all this stuff. But Satan says, skin for skin. You haven't touched his flesh. You haven't let me touch his life. Job will abandon you. Job will not remain faithful if you let me afflict his flesh. And so God says, all right, but I'm telling you, Job is going to be faithful. So Satan goes back to Job and he gets these boils on his skin and all this and he loses everything. And his friends come and they do good stuff for him. They sit with him for 7 days, but then they say, Job, you must be in the wrong. His wife says, curse God and die. And Job says, no. Job says, I will not curse God. And Job says, I know that God is not a tyrant. I know, in a sense, that God is a merciful judge. I know that God will vindicate me. And Job, in a line that means all kinds of things, but one of the things that it means is a prophecy. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. I don't know where he is. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he looks like. Job certainly doesn't know that God is going to take the form of a man to become our Redeemer, to become our Savior, to become our Rescuer. But Job knows in faith that his Redeemer lives, and we fast forward to the Gospel of John, and Jesus says that he is our advocate. That while Satan is accusing you and me before God, that Jesus Christ is our advocate. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, Jesus Christ is our defense lawyer, and Jesus Christ says, now I'm going to send you another one too. The Holy Spirit. So we stand before the throne of God, who is a merciful judge, who is our Father, with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And Satan has nothing left to say. Satan has nothing left to say to accuse us before God. Who would dare attack us when the judge himself has pronounced us suitable? Who would dare? And so you know what Satan does? If he can't accuse us to God, he accuses God to us. If he can't accuse us to God, Satan accuses God to us, and he accuses us to ourselves. And he says this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You've sinned too much. You're too bad of a person. God doesn't love you. It's too shameful. You have secrets, and you can't bring them to the light. You don't deserve God's mercy. You can't have God's mercy. That's for those other people. That's for those perfect people over there. That's for the guy sitting three rows in front of you in church, or the lady sitting three rows behind you. Satan says, God is a tyrant. You have to have achieved moral perfection for Him to love you, and you're not worth it, and so you have to give up. And y'all, that is the only way that we are not saved. All of us who are baptized, the only way that we are not saved is if we believe Satan's accusations against us and then refuse to come to the sacrament of mercy. The only way we are not saved is if we believe the accuser who, just like he did to Eve, accuses God to us and us to ourselves, and we despair and we do not come to his mercy. But God says, this Lent I want to change your life. This Lent I want to encounter you. This Lent I want to show you that I am for you. That I have given my Son, that I have given everything that I have because I desire you to be with me forever, and that the greatest act of the God in the entire world is the conversion of a sinner. And you are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and God says, come to me. And St. Augustine says, for a just man to be made from a sinner, so from a sinner to repent, for you and me to go in that box and to be forgiven, is greater than the creation of the world. Hear that. When you and I come to confession, when you and I repent of our sins, that is a greater act than the creation of the universe. Why? It's in point six if you want to look at it. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but the justification of the ungodly shall endure forever. Because your soul is immortal. And your soul and my soul being in grace with God and being pure before Him will last for eternity, or for the rest of eternity. God is for us. God, yes, the desert, y'all, is a lot of times painful. Sometimes a week and a half of Lent feels like a year and a half of Lent. You have so many sufferings and so many difficulties in your life. I know some of them I don't. And God says, let me give you the medicine. God says, let me heal you. God says, in the last quote, forget the mantras of self-help gibberish. Forget the syncretism and come and encounter me. And there will you find healing. Know that I am for you. Trust me. And there will you find healing. Imagine that. Imagine if every one of us this Lent allowed God in just a little bit deeper. Imagine if every one of us this Lent trusted God just a little bit more. Imagine what would happen in our lives. Imagine how our families would be different if just one of those triggers that lead us into sin would melt away. magic. So I want to invite all of us again this Wednesday to come back to 3311. The reason we have 3311 is to help you to encounter Him face to face as one man speaks to his friend. The whole reason that we have 3311, the whole reason that we have confessions on Fridays all day, the whole reason that we do this is to help you to encounter Him. And I know that sometimes it's hard to pray by yourself. Sometimes it's hard to pray by myself. Sometimes it's hard to overcome the distractions of all the things that I got on my mind. The distraction of my cell phone. The distractions of the people at the house who might come knock on the door or whatever. Sometimes it's just really hard to encounter God in the depths of prayer when we're by ourselves. And so on Wednesday night at 6:30, we invite you to come here. Just so that we can help you put away the distractions. Just so if you haven't prayed a lot in your life or you're in a season where prayer is hard, that we can say, hey, let's walk with you. Let's walk together. Let's come encounter Jesus and we, Father Mark and I and the music team and the hospitality team and everybody, we just want to create a favorable environment to encounter God. A favorable environment where we're a little less apt to recoil at our needed medicine. So I invite you all to come. And however you're praying, wherever you're going, don't ever forget, if God is for us, who can be against us? He is for you. He desires you. Let's let Him heal us this Lent.